Turn with me today to the book of St. Luke chapter 7. The book of St. Luke chapter 7. You that are watching by television, go ahead and use that Bible that you see on that coffee table that you just used for decoration. That'll help you. St. Luke chapter 7. I want to minister on this wise this morning. It's amazing to me how many people are defeated not because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. Because when you begin to believe the impossible, the devil will use this thing to try to get your focus off what you want in life, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. And I want to deal with St. Luke chapter 17, St. Luke chapter 7, I'm sorry. Let's read verse 16. Oh, let's read verse 15. Let's read verse 14. Glory to God. I'm going to read this whole chapter. Glory to God. Well, let me just tell you real quick. There was a lady here and her son was dead. Verse 13. When the Lord saw the lady, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. He came and touched the coffin or the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, now this is to the dead man, young man, that I'll tell you something, that God don't believe in premature death. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now he didn't ask, has he been embalmed? Yeah, because you know we can't raise him from the dead if they've been embalmed. He didn't ask any of that. He just said, young man. He said it so loud it turned red. I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. Now most of y'all would have ran out right there. I'm glad he's alive, but I ain't letting him touch me. And began to speak. Oh, man. Wonder what was he saying? And he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him, talking about Jesus, went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the regions round about. Now where I want to get to is verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John calling unto two of his disciples. Now John's in prison. There's a naked woman dancing in front of a drunk king. And he's nervous. Because this guy has power to kill him. And the girl is dancing because her mother told her to dance so she could get Herod to destroy John. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. Verse 9. And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Let me say this. Maybe the reason why you hadn't received yet, it's not because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. You may have the same thing attacking you as attacking John. He said, are you the one? Should we wait for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now notice this. In that same hour, verse 21, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and gave unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Now notice how Jesus answered John. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. Or since you want to see something, John, I'm going to let your boys give you a report, a journalistic report. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Now verse 23 is a phenomenal verse in the scripture. And blessed or empowered to prosper is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want to talk this morning about don't bend. Write this down as the title of the message. Don't bend to the pressure of time. The reason why a lot of people don't receive the fullness of God in their lives, they think it's because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief, when really the tool that Satan uses more than any of that is time. It's a little four-letter word, T-I-M-E. Now, John was bending to the pressure of time to the point that he questioned Jesus as being the Son of God. Yet John saw the Holy Spirit light upon Jesus. John heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He didn't say, "My beloved prophet," to you that are Muslim. Not being critical. This is coming from, I didn't say this. God said this. Allah, if you want to call it Allah. Or we call it Jehovah. You know, if you, a lot of people, you know, they, who's your God and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, God says, "This is my beloved Son." He didn't say, "This is my beloved Messiah," even though he was the Messiah. Now that tells you something, that God gives a secret from heaven that even the Jews didn't understand, because all they could hear was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." So how could God have a son? Well, you got to understand, God can do anything he wants. He's God. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." John has forgotten that because time has pressured him. He's bending under that pressure of time. Great prophet. I want to deal with that this morning, and I want you to get this because this will bless you. Because you see, it's not because you don't have enough faith or you have too much unbelief. It may be time and you're beginning to question things you don't need to question, because God says, "Blessed is he who's not offended in me." Did you hear me say earlier that the reason why it doesn't make any, I know God will do what he says. I don't care about the time, because I made up my mind. I want to empower. I want to be blessed. Well, how am I blessed? By not offending God. Through some physical attribute or some way of my thinking. Best thing to do is shut up, don't say nothing. He says, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." Or let me paraphrase it. John, I'm not working quick enough for you. Let's just be honest. At times we've wondered, is God ever going to do what he said? Is God not working quick enough for all of us at certain times? You know, because we're all human here. He says, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." So the title of his message is, "Don't bend to the pressure of time." Now write this down, this point. When you understand time, you will not only be triumphed in the midst of conflict, but you'll be safe in the calm that succeeds it. Because wherever there's conflict, there will come a calm. Wherever there's a hurricane, when it passes, it becomes a calm. Let me say it again. When you understand time, you will not only be triumphed in the midst of conflict, but you'll be safe in the calm that succeeds it. Which means this: if God says, means what he says and says what he means, it makes no difference how long it takes to get done. But you can lose your answer by submitting to what Satan's using against you. And before you know it, he'll lie to you and say you didn't have enough faith, or that faith business don't work, that prosperity business don't work, they're just trying to get your money, when really his tool is time. But yet, you understand in the midst of that conflict, you'll be safe in the calm that succeeds it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 is a powerful verse. If you want to turn to it, you can, or you can, I can just quote it. "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." In other words, I realize if I don't get something immediately, there's a season and a time. But it will come. It will come. God said, wait for it. It will come. Why? Because even in the midst of that conflict, I know that a calm is coming. Now you see, it's not a calm for the devil. It's a calm for you. You see what I'm saying? That you can rest yourself and restore the things that you need. What are you saying? I'm saying the sky of spiritual life is not always cloudless. Write that down. The sky of spiritual life is not always a cloud. And I'm going to do a little teaching, because I want people to understand this is defeating more people than anything else, is bending to the pressure of time. Now, immediately when you get under time, you start being critical of God. John knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but he said, "Are you the one? Or should we wait for another?" In other words, time will make you critical of God's word. The devil's trying to get you to get away from God's word. And he starts, the first step for you to deny the word of God is to criticize the word of God. That's what he told Eve in the garden. She said, "If we eat of the fruit, we're going to die." "You shall not surely die." Make her criticize the word of God. And then eventually what he's trying to do is to shut down her and her husband completely, and caused us our problem also. So the sky of spiritual life is not always cloudless. In many things that I've been believing for, sometimes it took years. When I received my first jet, it took years to receive it. Or I could receive it real quick, but it took years for it to manifest. So every time I looked up, I didn't see a pure sky. My Lord, I had nothing but clouds. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just don't take any. Because I realize to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. So I begin to understand time. The Lord said whether it comes to pass real quick or takes a long time, it doesn't make no difference because you're going to get what you said. Is that correct? Are you going to believe me the way I said it? I said, yeah. He said, then time really doesn't have anything to do with it, does it? It's like children. They can't wait till they grow up. After they grow up, they can't wait till they get, then they start fighting the growing up. I don't want to get old. Now you, all your life, are you growing up? You're trying to get, you got notches on the door frame, trying to grow up. But all of a sudden when you get there, it's not as much fun, is it? Then all of a sudden you find out, thank God for doctors that can suck your face up and do all kinds of different things. You're trying to get back to that time that you wanted. The problem is that you forget the rest of your body. You got this beautiful face and the rest of everything just sagging. It's amazing. But so what? Most people that see it, you can't see it anyway because they need glasses. So the sky of spiritual life is not always cloudless. That doesn't mean Jesse's always had nice times. I've had the devil fight me tooth and toenail, but he's out of teeth, he's out of toenails. And it's such a blessing. So you understand, human nature has great faith in doubt. You gotta write that down. Human nature has great faith in doubt and unbelief. I'm gonna tell you something. Human nature says, it ain't gonna work. How many times when you wanted to meet that girl, you were already saying, nah, she ain't gonna like me. And guess what? She didn't like you. Cause you came over there with that attitude. But if you'd have walked over there with that lean, what's up, mama? I'm gonna talk to you today. Glory to God. You know, if you got some confidence. I don't think girls want a fool. A girl ain't gonna go up to a boy like you. You know? She wants somebody, you know, with a little pizzazz. Something. Human nature has great faith in doubt and unbelief. John had doubts about Jesus. But if you notice verse 24, let me read this. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what you went out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. Notice John had doubts for Jesus. Jesus had nothing but praise for John. I ought to write that down. Because Jesus is not bent by the pressure of time. Now, he was tempted in that manner in the Garden Gethsemane. If this cup could pass from me, this is going to hurt. This is tough. They're going to write a movie about it, too. You understand? Nevertheless, my way. He proves the Pauline revelation that's going to be wrote years and years later by Paul the Apostle. He crucifies his flesh. What John should have done was said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's the one. And it makes no difference what Herod does to me. So he had doubt for Jesus, but Jesus had praise for him because Jesus did not bend to the pressure of time. Ain't this good stuff? Glory to God. And that's your problem. It's not because you're a baby Christian or you're not getting, no. It's just that time factor's working on you. So let me say it again. When you understand time, you will not only be triumph in the midst of the conflict, but you'll be safe in the calm that succeeds it. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. What are you saying? The sky of spiritual life is not always cloudless. You're going to have those kind of things. So when you understand that human nature has a great faith in doubt and unbelief, it always does, but John had doubts about Jesus. Jesus had great praise for John. So I've had a lot of people say, Brother Jesse, you ever get mad at God? Well, when I was a baby Christian, yeah, but I quit doing it. I realized that's so stupid. That's like a gnat trying to move an elephant. Like as if the gnat's going to move that elephant. They ain't going to move that elephant. I mean, you know, God's big. But then I realized that, you know why people can't get their prayers answered? You're so developed in unbelief. You're so developed in that area because all your life you told, well, you know, you just can't do that. So you develop it from a baby to an old person. Why don't you develop your faith like that? How do I do that? By not bending to the pressure of time. Now, well, how do I get away from bending to the pressure of time? Concentration. Concentration is a must if a Christian's life is ever to be sober and to have his hope set perfectly on Christ. In other words, I concentrate or meditate on this, on an answer, not on a problem. I told Dr. Don Covert, we were at lunch yesterday, and someone, one of his patients came up, somebody, I don't know, maybe one of his patients, maybe somebody he was talking to, walked in the tent and said, they told him he had cancer and you're going to die, and, it's really bad. And Dr. Covert, we were talking, he said, well, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you is you go to heaven. Now, let me show you how you blow the socks off the devil. I mean, let's face it, if you're a Christian, you die, you're going to heaven. I don't care if you had cancer, diabetes, whatever, right? But instead of saying the worst thing, I said, Don, what about this? When somebody say that, we say, God, man, you may go to heaven. My God, you're liable to beat us. And the devil go, What'd he say? Say, you ever thought about doing that? Jesus, I could be in heaven in 6 months. I've been wanting to go to heaven all my life. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know what the devil does? He goes, it ain't working. It's not. We were supposed to torture them. This bad report was to knock them down. They look like they wanting to get out. And chances are 99 out of 100 times he'll take his cancer and go home. He don't want you to go there. He want to aggravate you. See the difference? Flip the coin. Isn't that something? You think people would be crazy? All of a sudden somebody gave a party and said, they said I got cancer and I'm going to die. I'm going to heaven. Look at some of y'all. He is crazy. I don't accept fear. Whose report shall you believe? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Do you see my point? Now, you said, but I want to live. Okay, death and life's in the power of the tongue. You start speaking life toward death, it'll consume it. You're speaking death toward life, it'll consume it. It's what you say into the mountain. It's your mountain. It ain't the devil mountain. It's not God's mountain. It's yours. You say to the mountain, be thou removed. Get out of here. You see what I'm saying? But see, people don't think that way. They think the way, storm coming. You will confuse everyone around you. But the best person you'll confuse is the devil. He's the author of confusion. You talk about an old fool, he'll go, why are they happy? I don't want them happy. Take the cancer off of them. That devil will take his own disease back, stupid. He ain't got a lick of sense. Oh, this is good. How do you do that? Concentration is a must if a Christian's life is ever to be sober and to have his hope set perfectly on Christ. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that what? Promised. Actually, he is faithful that prophesied. People say, well, what happened? You ain't got that citation 10 yet. What are you doing? Holding fast. You trying to get me to accept defeat, yo mama. I am not going to accept defeat. I don't care if there's clouds in the sky. I don't care if there's Lucy in the sky with diamonds. You remember Lucy in the sky? Y'all know. Some of y'all young don't know. I'm not going to accept that. So when the devil said, we're going to give you a bad time. Boy, I've had the devil I've been down in 3 airplane crashes, ladies and gentlemen. Was you afraid? No. In fact, the first one I jumped up with, we're going to heaven. One guy said, not me. I'm going to hell. Well, you can get people saved. Do you know Baptists speak in tongues when a plane going down? Ain't nobody fighting a doctrinal issue. Other religions, they'll call on Jesus too. I ain't ever heard nobody say Allah. Nothing against that. Don't get mad at me. I never heard nobody say Buddha. Let me tell you, I've been down on them things. You know what I heard? Jesus! You my friend. Jesus! You my friend. Take me by the hand. Get me out of here. Don't bend to the pressure of time. Woo! I That's what I told Kathy, and I was like, she wanted to marry me. I said, don't bend to the pressure. I will marry you. Okay, I lied. Forgive me, Jesus. Concentration. See, I'm concentrating. I'm working on something here. I know the devil, the only thing he's got's time. And he don't have much of that. Even your life is but a vapor according to God. Concentration is a must. Oh, Lord. If a Christian's life is to ever to be sober, to have his hope set perfectly on Christ. Hebrews 10:23. Let's read it again. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering. What makes you waver? Time. For he is faithful that promised. Now, you know how I judge a Christian? Most people say by their character. No, no. To me, I judge a Christian by their standing. Here's a good point. If you want to find the worth of a person, you ask about his standing. What do you say in Ephesians 6:13-14? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? To what? Stand. Then he says, stand therefore. Now, if that messes you up, say, therefore stand. So I look at someone's their Christianity in terms of if I'm going to make a judgment, I want to find out what they're worth, I ask about their standing. What are they saying during this trial, this fiery trial? Well, the three Hebrew children, you know, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're walking around in the fire. They're not on the ground. Oh, Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, Lord, Jesus! Then the devil come over there confused, named Nebuchadnezzar. I thought we throw three in there. But there's another one in there. And Jesus going, never. Hey, never. You sweating. We cooling here. Call the fourth man. You notice they did not bend to the pressure of time. If you do not bow, you're going to burn. No, that's right. If you don't bow, change at the other end, you won't burn. If you bow, you're going to burn. They didn't bend to that pressure of time. So you've been believing God for a lot of things. You think, man, and the devil's trying to make you look at you. Oh, you know this, you know. No, no, all he's got is time if they'll accept this. See, but instead of concentrating on his weapon, concentrate on yours. Your weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's how a white preacher would say it. If I was preaching, oh, Brother Elliot, he's in the Church of God of Prophecy. He came, he's a blessed guy. If I say, oh man, I would just say, the Lord my shepherd, huh? I shall not want. Hey, he made me lie down. Come on, baby. In green pasture. Hey, he restored my soul. Lord. 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 Can nobody, Lord. Oh, can nobody do me like Jesus. Now that can make you stand up and shout, but you got to be doing that when the clouds are there. For most part, they shout when they don't come. When the clouds are there, they go, "Oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus!" He's going, "What? What? What? Do we have a problem here? Have I changed my word? No. He can't change his word." Concentration. So if you want to find the worth of a person, you ask about his standing. Well, Brother Jesse, how do you don't faint? This. When you read the word faint in the Bible, most of the time you find the word not in front of it. Then y'all come up. Remember these kids came up with that? You'd say something, they go, not. I thought they said snot. I thought, boy, that's a gross thing. What? Not. Oh, not. Take the S off. Okay, yeah. When you find the word faint in the Bible, most of the time you find the word not in front of it. Isaiah 40:31, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and what? Not faint. Now, the reason why they're doing that is not because they're great men of faith, even though that helps. They're not bending to the pressure of time. John said, man, this guy gonna cut my head off, man. We in trouble here. Are you the one? Oh, Lord. Blessed is he who's not offended. See, John got offended. He ain't working fast enough. I tell you, I want to let you know, it's easy for you to say because you ain't in here. See, that's criticism. Starts kicking up. When you faint, you fall back on nothing. But when you pray, you fall back on God. Write that down, Lord Jesus. So instead of fainting, I just might as well pray. The other day, the devil was bothering me pretty bad, aggravating me about my thought processes. I said, well, since you want to talk, I'm going to talk louder to God. So I just start praying out loud. I walk by people and they say, he talks to himself. I said, no, I'm talking to God. They go, oh, excuse me. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear a word the devil was saying. I couldn't understand anything the devil was saying. All of a sudden, I began to feel better, for lack of a better term. The clouds dissipated. Why? I was concentrating. Instead of saying, gee, you ain't never helping me out here. See, that's doubt against God. If you go to the throne of God right now, all you'll ever get about Jesse Duplantis is a good report. Have you observed my servant Jesse? Or my son Jesse? He's a good boy. I love that boy. He's made some mistakes, but I forgot. I don't remember anything. He's a blessed. You see, John had doubts about Jesus, but Jesus had nothing but great praise. Would you go see a prophet? Oh, something greater than a prophet. So when you faint, you fall back on nothing. But when you pray, you fall back on God. Well, Jesse, how do I do all this? Like Isaiah says, inward principle must take the place of outward restraint. Inward principle must take the place of outward restraint. The power of self-command must be developed. You ought to write that down. The power of self-command must be developed. See, when you don't bend to the pressure of time, you've learned to control yourself. And sometimes you need a little help. It's called diets. He says, today, this will not cross my lips. And you know everybody going to invite you out to dinner? We went to Mr. B's. And one of our, I call him my waiters, Chris and Stephen. Is Chris here? Chris, hold your hand up. Where's Chris? That's Chris there. He waits. Give him a hand clap. He's a great guy. I mean, he's a blessing. We really love Chris and Steve. They wait on us all the time. Well, they got some of the best pecan pie. Now, I got Colbert with me. You understand? Vanilla ice cream. I got Don Colbert. I'm the guru of to eat healthy. But thank God he brought Mary, because Mary kind of helps him out. Hallelujah. We love Mary. Mary's a blessing. Don't make her mad. That's all I tell you. Just let you know. So I said, you got to try this. I said, let's just all get one, and we'll just all take a bite. So we all took a bite and they said, oh, this is good. Mary reached over with that spoon. And Don goes, Mary. He's helping her a little bit. I said, go ahead and let her eat. I don't want her to get addicted. I said, oh, because sugar can be addicting. Nothing wrong with having a bite. I said, don't misunderstand me. But you know, when you got a man that's the guru of food and he come to New Orleans, where you gonna bring him to eat? I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. He said, no. He said, I do everything within moderation. Oh, okay. Glory to God. And we had great food. It was just such a blessing. So I got me some gumbo yaya. I said, you got to try this stuff. I noticed he didn't eat the sausage. You know what I almost did? Almost reached over in your plate and said, well, you don't want to eat that sausage. Give me that sausage. I'll eat that sausage. It's going to plug up your arteries. Who cares? Glory to God. We had a great time. Let me say it again. Inward principle must take the place of outward restraint. The power of self-command must be developed. You have to control yourself. That's done when you don't bend to the pressure of time. You've learned to conquer yourself. You got self-command now. Lord Jesus. And things get easier. You see, because you know it's going to come to pass. See, man's soul is made up of thoughts, desires, actions, and determinations. Some of you write this down. Let me slow down here. Man's soul is made up of thoughts, desires, actions, determinations. Here is the home of genius and the secret of life's failures or successes. Your life, your success or failure is right here. Right here. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your soul. It's the mind, the will, and the emotion of man. See? That's where you make it or break it, right there. Now, your spirit has no problems. It has, your spirit is in 100%, actually, your spirit, you can't develop it any more than what it is when it was born again. It's completely 100% contact with God. You develop your soul. I can prove it to you. I've said it here before. How many times you went in a mall, saw someone in a wheelchair? Your spirit said, go over there. Grab them. Pull them out of that chair. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Your soul, your mind say, control yourself, fool. Are you crazy? You're going to get a lawsuit here. Suppose it don't work. See, your spirit, the minute you said Jesus coming up, it was filled with El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Ra. The fullness of God blew into your innermost being. You can't get any more in there. That's when God called that spirit of Jesus. That body had to get up. People die when the spirit leaves them. They're nothing but a bunch of bones and flesh. When you call that spirit, boy. Oh, poor little Martha. He said, where'd you bury your brother? Oh, Lord, he stinketh. She's bending to the pressure of time. And I'm not, now this is my paraphrase, but I believe Jesus said, you know, when he was alive, he stunk too. There's some people just stink. You don't notice that? You go, how you doing? God bless you. God bless you. Man, I went to Africa one time to pray for some people, Lord Jesus. And they lift their hands up. I went, put your hand down. Hallelujah. It was choking me, Dennis. They said, you need some water. I said, no, I need to get away from him. This boy. One time we was in Chicago. Ty, me and Kathy in Chicago. Wasn't saved. In the 70s, 70, 71. And man, I walked in and opened up the window and there's this plane come. I went, gah! Look, I almost dove underneath the bed. I thought I was going to hit the hotel, but it was at Chicago. What was the name? O'Hara Airport. Well, someone knocked on the door and the Kathy just don't open the door. She looked, you know. Yeah, can I help you? Oh, yes, ma'am. They forgot to change your sheets and stuff like that. We if you don't mind, they shouldn't have checked you in right then there. If you don't mind, maybe we'll change your sheet. This guy walks in. He walks in like this. Turn around. I'm messing up the television, I guess. And walked out. And me and Kathy went, He left the room and the odor was still there. This guy wiped me and Kathy out. Even Jody was little. She went, Jody was a little bitty. I said, I got to get out of this room, man. I got to get out of this room. We were on the 11th floor. We had to get out. I said, take small breaths. I am not exaggerating. Am I telling the truth? It was terrible. So we went down and said, can we get another room? Oh, yes. You don't like that one? I said, has he been in that room? True story. Had to get out of that, choking her. And the Jody was so funny, his little baby. Well, Daddy. I said, I know. And you can see a little face there. Let's get out of here, Daddy. I'll not forget that. Hallelujah. Man's soul is made up of thoughts, desires, actions, determinations. Here is the home of genius. And the secret of life's failures or success. Let not time be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to your overflow. Write that down. Let not time be a stumbling block, like it was to John, but a stepping stone to your overflow. Well, can I have overflow? John 10:10 says, I came that you may have life and in may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You ought to be so happy that you get around a sad person. Your overflow makes them happy. I never forget one time I was at, I think the name of that hospital, I may be wrong. It was in Monroe, Louisiana, 1981. It's St. Francis Hospital, something like that. I walked into ICU, intensive care unit. When I walked in there, they had a little waiting room, excuse me, for the intensive care. You know, I walked in there. I ain't never seen sad so bad. It was so thick in there, you just couldn't breathe. Because everybody, I guess their family was in there and real, real bad. And I just walked in. And the Lord said, change the environment. You got enough jaw to knock this place silly. I said, hey! It's real quiet. People freak out when you, hey! I said, we got a problem in here? What are y'all all sad about? You have relatives over there saying you ain't gonna make it? I said, you better thank God I'm here today. I've been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. One woman said, oh, Jesus, send somebody. We don't care. Just, I said, what's your, it's my husband. He's dying. I said, what's his name? She said, Harry. I said, no problem. I can go in there. I got the papers. You know what I mean? I'm rich. I can get inside there. You can't get in there, but I can get in there. I said, what's your problem? I said, what's your problem? She said, my baby. I said, I can take care of that too. What else? Now my mind was going, shut up, fool. Cause the man gonna die, the baby gonna die. Stupid. Shut up. But I kept talking louder so I couldn't hear what he was saying. I was concentrating. I wouldn't let time. I walked in that. I said, hang on, I'll be back after a while. And ladies and gentlemen, I walked in and the doctor said, they said, who are you? I said, I'm Dr. Jesse Duplantis. Oh, doctor. Hold on. Well, I am. I ain't lying. I'm Dr. Duplantis. I walked in there. I said, he said, they don't have much time to live. I said, he gonna live and not die. He said, what? I said, in the name of Jesus. He said, oh, God, a preacher. I said, where you going? You need some help too. Stay there. Sit there, I said. Don't move. I said, I got that woman in there thinking her husband going to die. And that may be true, but we don't want him to die, and she don't want him to die. And he goes like this, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I said, you're not going to die in the name of Jesus. And he went, oh. He went like, His strength in his voice came back. He said, something's touching me. I said, it's the anointing. And I had to do a little dance. It's the anointing of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I changed the environment. I didn't bend to the pressure of time. Not because of my faith. Because of my concentration. I went over to that baby. Boy, yeah, that was the worst one. Oh, it's bad. I said, what's the name of this baby? I said, I need the name of this baby. Let's move. Somebody move in here. And they don't know what to do. People just stand. I said, go get the mama. What's the name of your baby? She told me that baby, and I call that baby by his name. In the name of Jesus, I don't talk to your little body. It can't talk. I talk to your spirit in the name of Jesus. And that baby opened its eyes and said, I'm hungry, mama. Hey, glory to God. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. You say, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. She believed it and got her baby back. She believed it and got her husband back. I turned the ICU waiting room into a place of joy. Glory to God. By not bending to that stinking time pressure. Let not time be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to your overflow. I had a Baptist preacher grab me by the arm and says, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. Help me. I said, I gotta get the chains of religion off of you, a good man. I'm no better than you are, sir. Don't put a halo on my head. Just gotta get away from this. Suppose it don't work. Jesus never had the suppose it don't work syndrome. When it tried to attack him, because remember his life had some clouds in it too. If this cup could pass, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be. What are you saying? I'm saying a looking for something visible or a defective knowledge of Christ tells you there are remains of the old life in you. What's happening? That's part of that old life. A looking for something visible or a defective knowledge of Christ tells you there are remnants of the old life in you. See, that was the problem with Thomas. In John 20:29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. See, that was parts of Thomas's old life. Those things will rise up. You crucify that. You shut that down. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Your weapons are not carnal, but mighty. Look, mighty. If you can't remember mighty, put mighty mouse to it. I don't care. Just get mighty on your mind. Your weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I cast that imagination down. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, the devil's so stupid. Everything he says exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you got the ability and the power to shut it down. But it won't shut down if you bend to the pressure of time. If you say, did you really say that, Jesus, or am I missing this thing? Or what about all these churches changing doctors? They believe what was right, and after a while they go, well, you know, you can't stop a hurricane. We've done it many times. You say, I don't believe it. Just come here doing one. You will. Now, we didn't send it to Florida. Don lives in Florida. I ain't gonna send all those destroyers to my friend's house. We don't do that. But you know what? You got bloodlines. People have to protect themselves with the scripture of the God. I was telling Mary, she really loved it. You got to understand about all a hurricane is a low pressure. But notice it can't go against a high. And here, you can't even see the high. But it's there. And here come a category 5, big old eye. Hurricane Ivan. ain't going in that high. So the thing does this. And that's when the Weather Channel kicks in. Well, it's going to Florida. No, it's going to Mississippi. No, it's going to Texas. We don't really know where it's going at all, to tell you the truth. Because you got Christians praying, okay, Lord, send it over there, send it over there. And the little storm do this, and the other little storm do this. And they go, oh. God never told you to pray against a storm. He told you to take authority over them. If you pray against a storm, you'll send it somewhere else to destroy somebody. Command wind shear, dry air to get in that thing. Poke its eye out. But you notice what it does? It sits there. It'll even stop and wait. What is it looking for? A weak place in the atmosphere to go in. Waiting for your high to pull away. Do you see that? It doesn't bend to the pressure of time. It'll stop right in that Atlantic or right in that Gulf and wait. So you want to wait? See, waiting on God doesn't mean not doing nothing. It's like one, you've heard me say this. One man told me, I couldn't believe it. Boy, just tell you one thing. I'm going to quit my job and live by faith. I said, come here, boy. If your faith don't work with a job, what makes you think your faith's going to work without a job? Are you crazy? I call that the spirit of stupid. I said, the spirit of stupid come upon you, man. Those things happen. I had a one more time writer told me to divorce Kathy and marry her. The Lord told me for you to divorce Kathy and marry me. I said, you got the spirit of stupid on you, woman. Spirit of stupid. I got to preach on that. That spirit of stupid get on some people. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat this donut and have some skim milk. That's the spirit of stupid on you. Spirit of stupid hit you, man. God get blamed for so much of the spirit of stupid. Thomas, it'd been better that you not believe and not Simeon believe. It showed his doubt. Just like John, because he bent to the pressure of time. Are y'all enjoying this as much as I am? God, let me hurry. I'm holding you too long here. Watch this. The recipe of patience cooks out the liquid of time. I like that. The recipe of patience cooks out the liquid of time, and what is left is the wants of life. And James chapter 1 verse 4. But let patience, watch this, have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire. What? Wanting nothing. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I got that point watching. Kathy don't cook very often. When she does, it's an event. When she started cooking, I said, Lord Jesus, I got to watch this. Sometime I want to bring the TV crew over. And she was still cooking. I said, why you got that thing about? I'm cooking out the liquid. I got to make it thicker stock. I don't know how you do all that. And the Lord told me, he says, and I got this, the recipe of patience just cooks out the liquid of time. She's cooking out the liquid. And what is left is the wants of life. Because what was left in that pot is what I wanted, which was the good stuff. I'm telling you, Don, you need to eat some andouille sausage. It left you. He said, don't you infect me. I'm telling you, it's good. I tell you, that's the happiest I ever seen Don, because he was eating gumbo. Yeah, yeah. He walked out like, boy. I said, ain't this wonderful? Your arteries are full of gumbo. Glory to God. This is great, man. There's so much I could talk. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, O Lord, immovable, oh God, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, not believing, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, that's why I'm not moved by time. Because I know my labor is not in vain. Time, my labor is not in vain. I know it. I'm not believing it. I'm not saying, I know God's going to give me 1 million partners. And I know I'll touch 1 billion people. Now you think I'm crazy. Go on with yourself. Oh, ain't no different to me. I'm going to get that 1 million people. I'm going to get that uncle that hates you. He going to like me. He likes me more than he likes you anyway. I had a man introduce me one time on the platform. He said, I see people here today. They hate God, but they love Jesse. There are more people here love Jesse than love God. And several men say, yeah, that's right. Then I thought, why did they hate God? Because the church had gave a totally different picture of God that wasn't God. Why would you want to serve somebody who'll kill you? Why would you like, oh, ta-ba-bas, thank you, Lord. When the Lord gave us that word about those people that the Father want to break their arm. Do you know that's what most churches say today in spiritual things? God's going to put that cancer on you. He's going to break your arm to teach you something. Is that a criticism of God? But see, that's your ignorance going to seed. That's your homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought processes that's not on the borderline of genius, but on the spirit of stupid. Your thoughts, desires, actions, and terminations have come to the spirit of stupid. It's dumb. It's wrong. You see, God's a good God. Everybody criticized Oral Roberts for saying that in the 40s and the 50s. He's a good God. Why did he let that happen? He didn't. You did. You got authority over this planet. He gave you dominion over all the work of his hand. What you climbing at God for? It's like, mama, will you tie my shoe? No, you're 62 years old. You better learn to tie your own shoe. Isn't that amazing? You know, I'm a full-grown man, but Kathy taught me some things after we got married. Lord, gee, I didn't realize the weakness. I couldn't, after I started watching television, I couldn't go nowhere. For some reason or nothing, paralysis would hit me. Hey, Kathy, can you go get me something to eat? You got legs, Jesse. You can go to the refrigerator. Hey, Kathy, can you go get me some water? How come as soon as I sit down, you ask me to do something? My eyes and mouth started working. No. Then a lot of times she said, it made me mad. She said, won't you just get up and get it yourself? And then I start telling her all the things I've done for her. Ladies know what I'm talking about. That don't impress her. Sometime I felt the Spock's hand on my head like a... It's Kathy saying, remember. Remember where the water is. Remember. Sometimes she goes preaching. The other day she went preaching. I was by myself in the house. It was great. I took my underwear and threw it across the room. Then I thought, oh, God's going to show it to her. Let me go get it. I went put it in the dirty clothes. It was great. I was king for a day. And then she called. Where were you? What did you do? Did you eat today? Yes. Did you read the label before you ate it? Yes. What did you do? Were you waiting for me to call you? Yes. Did you go to work today? Yes. Did I get my check today? No. I got it. It's amazing, man. And even my daughter, Jody, maybe her daughter, sometime with the Catholic, I tell, Jody goes, "You gonna be okay, Daddy?" I said, "Let me tell both of you women something. I was here before both of y'all were born. Do you understand here? Yeah, I can take care of myself. Well, how come you ate that Vienna sausage that was 10 years old? I said, forget those things which are behind. Reach out to those things which are before. I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. What is that? That's the Golden Corral. That's what that is. Glory to God. They just don't think I can handle it. And Pia, where's Pia? Pia, do this. Pia is my second wife. I just thought I'd tell everybody that. She works for me, and she's now doing her own business, but still works for me. I tell you, been with me going on 10 years. I walked in the other day, Pia said, "Where you been?" I said, "What? Where'd you been? Did you eat? How was the room? Was that thing okay?" I said, "Yes, dear. Everything was fine. Have you been talking to Kathy?" "Yeah, I want to make sure he take care of you." Kathy tells the staff, "You got to take care of Jesse." Oh, and let me close with this. But when it comes to cut a deal, they say, "Go get the whitehead. Go get the little gray cell man." "Jesse, I want this. Cut a deal. You can do this." "Okay, let's talk here. I come to make an offer. You don't refuse." The other day, she said, "You know, Jesse, if you want to give that Corvette to me, the Lord would bless you." I said, "Kathy, the Corvette's yours." "Thank you, Jesse." I said, "I give it to you. It's yours." So I called her on the phone. I heard, whoo, she's driving it. She said, "I stopped at a red light, and a man pulled his window down and said, 'Must be good to be the queen.'" She had the top down. She says, "It is." "It must be good to be the queen. Thing was given to me, but nah. Now, here's the difference. You know, I drive it fast. I get a ticket. Kathy drives it fast. They go, "Well, there goes Miss Kathy. Look at her." She got a ticket one time and complained that she shouldn't be paying a ticket because she pays taxes. I said, "I can't. Did you go tell that to the district attorney? I pay taxes in this community." I bet he was thinking, "You're going to pay some more right now, too." She said, "I don't think I deserve this ticket." When I saw her come, I said, "You been to the district attorney?" She was dressed up. Lord, she had her best dress on, smelling good. I said, "Evil. Deceitful. Devilishly wicked. Did you pay the thing?" She said, "No." I said, "Wonderful. Perfect. Great." Is that an excuse? I pay taxes. But thank God, didn't have to pay it. Did you enjoy it today? Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a big God bless you.